this one. What is this guy's name? That's why I put the picture.
Scotty.
Scotty.
Jimmy Doolin.
Really?
Scotty. We need warp power.
That's why we have the expert.
Warp power to the engines.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a podcaster. Not a Star Trek fan. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We are very happy and fortunate today to have a Trekker, the ultimate Star Trek fan, my husband, Greg Zennon.
Yes, welcome, Greg. We're happy to have you here in the studio.
Hey, thanks a lot.
We haven't had you here in a while. The last time you were here, I think you were under the auspices of legal.
Right.
Because Hey You Know It.
You are a lawyer.
Yes,
I do law.
Yeah.
But he also does Trek.
Yes.
Because it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year, that's why we have Greg coming to talk about it.
Woo!
And for those of you who may be living in a cave, I'm just going to give like a little background on Star Trek.
Yeah, like what is the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars?
That's advanced. So Star Trek is an American sci-fi series created by Gene Roddenberry. It follows the adventures of the USS Enterprise, NCC 1701, and its crew. The original series goes by Star Trek, the original series, or sometimes just TOS, the original series.
Correct.
The show was set in the Milky Way galaxy during the 2260s, and it tells the tale of a crew on the Starship Enterprise on their 5-year mission to
explore new worlds, seek out new life and new civilizations, and to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Exactly.
As it was said in the original. They changed it later on to No One. And they changed it to continuing.
Oh, really?
They did.
So the original series was from 1966 to 69, and it featured William Shatner, of course, as Captain James Tiberius Kirk, Leonard Nimoy as Spock, DeForest Kelly as Leonard Bones McCoy, James Doohan as Montgomery, and Montgomery Scott, right? Because his nickname is Scotty, but his last name is Scott.
Correct.
Because he's Scottish, right?
Because he's Scottish.
He was Scottish in the show.
Okay. Yeah. And Nichelle Nichols as Uhura, George Takei as Hikara Sulu, and Walter Koenig as Pavel Chekhov. So, the series premiered September 8th, 1966. So that's
50 years ago.
And it ran. It was produced by Norway Productions and Desilu Productions.
Season. Desilu Productions, that's Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
I didn't know that. And then later on, it was from, so the first year was Desilu and Norway Productions. And then the rest of the next 2 years were Paramount Television. So it aired from September 8th, 1966 to June 3rd, 1969. It was actually, and I don't know if you know this, where did it air first?
Canada.
Exactly.
It aired one week before the U.S. premiere, which was The Man Trap, which wasn't the first episode shot.
But it was the first episode they ever aired. So then it was on NBC, and they canceled it after 3 seasons. But do you know about the petition? Right?
Well, the petition actually started. They were going to cancel it after 2 seasons.
Oh, I did not know that.
And Gene Roddenberry reached out to a couple of super fans that he met at the time, that they didn't use that word, B. Jo Trimble and her husband. And they're in their 80s now. B. Jo. B. Jo Trimble.
That's weird.
She is amazing.
Oh, it's a woman. B. Jo.
Yes, B. Jo.
Okay.
She was into...
How did she get that name?
B. Jo.
She's on Facebook. You could ask her.
What does
her.
The B stand for?
That's her name, B. Jo Trimble.
It's not like Beatrice,
this
Joanna.
Keep in mind, this was the 60s.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Bijo.
Yeah, Bijo. Yeah. It's kind of a...
When's Bijo going to get here?
All right,
and
I like
Bijo and her husband loved the show. And in the second season, when Roddenberry found out that they were going to get canceled, he told them, and they said, what can we do? And he said, you can write. And they did. They wrote in, and they got all their science fiction and fantasy friends and all their convention friends to write in. And they saved it for a third season. And that was important because then it went into syndication.
Oh.
Because without the third season...
So how many episodes are there in the original series?
Oh.
79 total.
Okay.
So you need 3 seasons to go to, into syndication.
Back in the day.
Yes. Okay. Back then, you needed 3 seasons to go into syndication.
I wonder why that was the magic number. Because I feel like maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was 100 episodes. Everyone was trying to get to 100 episodes.
Later
and that
on,
would secure syndication. But I wonder at 79.
No, it wasn't the number of episodes back then.
It was seasons.
It was the number of seasons.
Huh. And seasons were longer.
Yeah. Were much longer. Obviously, it was 3 in 79.
Right.
So the Star Trek franchise has 5 television series, 13 feature films, and a buttload of books, games, and toys, and is considered to be one of the most popular and influential television series of all times. It is a cultural juggernaut.
There are over 700 hours of Star Trek available for viewing.
Wow. Most of which is on Netflix, apparently.
Really? So you're including the
animated series?
Animated, the movies. What else?
So you have the original series. Mm-hmm. Then you have the animated series.
Which is pretty good. I remember watching those as a kid.
A lot of the same writers and a lot of the same cast.
But they could do more. Because it's animated.
Yeah.
So there was no end to how crazy the monsters could get, how crazy the worlds could be.
Yeah.
And the same, the actors did the voices, right?
Most of them. You had Shatner, you had Nimoy, you had DeForest Kelly. You didn't have Walter Koenig, but they wanted Walter involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, let's have him write an episode. It was actually...
For the cartoon?
For the cartoon.
Oh, that's
Leonard
cool.
Nimoy said, this is a family. And we need Chekhov to get involved.
Oh.
And he said, I'm not doing it. And then everybody got behind Leonard.
I'm not doing it.
Leonard was the man. And Shatner got behind him. Everybody got behind him and said, you know, Leonard's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave Walter Koenig an episode to write.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the story. He rewrote it a dozen times.
Mm-hmm. It's like 20 minutes long. That must have been a nightmare.
I know. Yeah. A dozen rewrites on a 20-minute episode.
It's like 20 pages, everyone.
Yeah. Over and over and over again of animation.
Gotta get it right.
Yeah. David Gerald, the famous Trouble with Tribbles, he wrote another Tribble episode that was very popular.
Mm-hmm. For the animated series?
For the animated series. Nichelle Nichols was on board. Sulu was on board. They did bring in another helmsman, the alien guy, I forget his name, to replace Chekhov.
It's a really good series. It's like, for an older cartoon that's very stylized, I think it's still very... interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you watch things from our childhood or earlier, like, they're not even moving their mouths.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a still. We're looking at the same picture.
Yeah, right.
For like a minute now. So what's going on?
So after the animated series, there's TNG, Next Generation.
Okay.
Then Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Deep Space Nine, there was Voyager with our first female captain, Catherine Janeway, Kate Mulgrew, and then Enterprise.
Okay.
And now, the big news, Star Trek Discovery is going to be coming out.
So before you get into that, I want to back it up a second, and I want to ask, because we're here to talk about Star Trek, but also to talk about your love of Star Trek.
Okay.
So how did you get into Star Trek as a kid?
You know, it was luck and accident. 1979, when the movie came out, the motion picture.
Do you remember when it came out?
The movie?
The motion picture.
No.
Okay. I remember seeing it, and I must have been like 5.
You know who did the promos for that?
Yes, Orson Welles.
That's right.
My man.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been why they took me to see it, because they're like, well, Orson Welles said it was good.
He did the voiceovers for the TV ads for the motion picture. And I saw it in the theater.
So you must have been like 6.
I was 6 and a half.
Wow.
I remember a big ship.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a bald lady. I remember Mr. Spock.
Yes, the bald lady.
That's right.
Yeah, I do remember this now. I must admit.
Barely.
And now that I think about it, you could take a 5-year-old to a movie like that. Like, it's totally fine, you know?
I remember being fascinated.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of fighting, not a lot of ship-on-ship battles.
Sweet ship-on-ship action.
It's a very serious movie. Yeah.
It is, it's a drama.
Yeah, it's a drama. It was shot by the same guy who did 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that kind of
But it's actually good.
It's a film.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, and it did great at the box office. A lot of people don't like it now. But back then, it was very popular.
Well, I think what people are looking for now when they see a science fiction movie is a lot of like, pew, pew, and like, you know, explosions.
Yeah.
And things like that.
And a lot of fast-paced action.
Not so much like, but if you like things like Logan's Run, where it's like a heavy story and then there's some action, then I think you'll be more inclined to enjoy the motion picture. And it's called Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yes.
Because remember, that's what they used to do back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It was like the motion picture.
Yes.
As if.
Right.
Like, yeah. Can you imagine naming something that now? The motion picture.
The pictures are in motion, yeah. Kids.
It's on the silver screen.
Yeah.
Read all about it. So I have a little, speaking of the films, I just want to throw this in before we continue. All of the films together, the take of all of the Star Trek films, they've taken domestically $1.4 trillion.
Wow.
Domestically. $2.2 trillion, $2.27 trillion.
Immensely popular.
For the entire world.
Wow.
Fascinating. There was a guy at a convention in Labor Day weekend. New York had the first convention in over 20 years in New York. And there was a guy from Turkey who flew in for the convention. He said when he was growing up, Turkish television showed the news and Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
And that was it.
How old was he, Rob?
He was my age in mid-40s.
Okay, so then
so he would have been watching reruns.
So reruns. So that is something that... Okay.
That's it.
This
was in the 80s.
This is our generation.
In turn.
Because I watched Star Trek growing up on reruns, and I knew it was older, but I didn't, you know, when you're a little kid, you don't really understand, like, okay, it's 15 years old or something like that. You don't get that. You're a kid. You're watching it, and you're like, okay, it's in color.
Yeah. So
it's a space Western or, you know, space opera, space Odyssey, whatever, and you're watching it, and you're just enjoying it, not thinking about this is something that was groundbreaking back in the day.
And if you remember, Lucy, I love Lucy, half of that was black and white, if not all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
right. So this was huge.
This was huge.
Back then, this was a big deal.
Right. Yeah. I remember watching it in syndication. I was a kid, and my mom, it was on Friday nights, and my mom would make homemade pizza, and then we'd watch it, and that was like our treat.
That's awesome.
Homemade pizza and Star Trek on a Friday. We're like, this is weekend starting, everyone.
Party!
Yeah, right? With that crazy space music.
Yeah. Greg and I actually went to an event at the Paley Center, and they had a guy bring out the theremin, which is that instrument, and he played it. It just looked like a box, and you wave your hand above or below it to make
totally
the sound. It was fascinating.
Guess who can play the theremin?
You?
No.
Oh.
Ev from Cinema.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
I'm not. I saw him do it in concert. So Cinema, listeners, is the band that you have heard.
Yeah, at the start of the show, at the end of the show.
Yes. So
and Greg, the reason we got them is because Greg knew Ev.
You knew Ev.
Yeah, from court. I do legal, and I love to help artists out there.
Yeah.
And Evan and I chatted for many years
on the work side.
It wasn't a client.
No, he worked in the courts.
He worked in the courts.
So you chatted with him, and then he graciously
allowed us to do the music. And he's now a full-time musician.
We're hoping to have them back in.
He did.
And I have another guy for you.
Wait, before I want to say, I went and I saw them when they were on tour with Black Flag.
They had the
2 years ago, but no, Black Flag. I want to say Greg Ginn. I'm not sure.
Maybe I don't know
somebody. So the head guy.
That sounds right.
Whatever he had the theremin and he was playing it. He had like 15 minutes to his for his own solo music. Apart from Black Flag,
and he whipped out a theremin.
Yeah, and then
that's a bold move.
That's amazing.
Ev got up and played the theremin with him. They invited him on stage.
To play the theremin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was this still like major hard rock? Or did they kind of go into a 60s kind of?
No. He played
the theremin.
Guitars.
Can be anything.
The guitars were going. Amazing. And Ev got up and was waving his hands. And the crowd went wild. I mean, it was fantastic.
So we saw a guy play the and he played, we watched an episode, and at the beginning of the episode, he played the theremin when that part of the, you know, during the music at the beginning.
Right. That was, the Paley Center in Midtown is having a huge 50th anniversary Star Trek celebration. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing TV shows, some of the movies, some of the animated series. They're doing kids stuff.
We play bingo. They have Klingon lessons. It's a media center, so they're celebrating this, you know, media event, the 50-year anniversary.
It's worth checking out.
So you watched, the first thing you saw was the movie.
The movie in the theater.
In the theaters.
And then from like 6 to 12, I was just a kid. I don't remember much. And then Star Wars came out with Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that took us all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it was in high school, I was either called Trekkie or Trekker Greg, depending on how much I was liked.
And the teachers were like, you like to hike.
Yeah.
The Trekker.
He liked to trek. So what is the difference between Trekkie
and Trekker? What's, yeah.
Oh, well. You know, that's kind of a debated issue, but it goes back to the original series. When Next Generation first came out in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
a lot of fans were worried because the movies were still going on with the original cast, that it was going to be it for all the stars, and all of our favorite heroes were going to be retired. And we'd never see them on the big screen again, we'd never see them at conventions again, and they were just going to take this Next Generation, and they were going to get rid of Star Trek as we knew it. So we started calling ourselves Trekkers. And to separate ourselves from Trekkies. Trekkies love everything Star Trek. Trekkers are really in love with the original Star
Trek. TOS.
Yeah, TOS. We'll embrace some of the rest, but a real Trekker is not a fan of the Next Generation.
Oh, I did not realize. I know there's a lot of controversy around the Next Generation. A lot of people don't like it, but from what I understand, it's the most popular.
It is the most popular.
That is how I feel about Van Halen. I only like Van Halen with David Lee Roth and anything with Sammy Hagar or whoever else.
I agree with you on that. I am not a huge Hagar fan. So that's the Trekkie, yeah. Trekker.
Right. And even me saying that, you're going to get people telling you otherwise, I'm sure.
Okay. They're free to do so.
They can say whatever they want.
Yeah. We don't know the difference.
It's still debatable.
It's been explained to us. Yeah. So then when did you start going to conventions and things? Like, so how did you activate your fan-ness?
Yes.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, conventions were really popular and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is in Massachusetts.
Yeah. In Boston was the spot for conventions.
They were cheap? That's something that I cannot understand, because they're very expensive now. They're very expensive. Yeah.
They were $10, $20.
People realize now people will pay a lot of money based on emotion,
mm-hmm.
and something that pulls at your heartstrings,
but it's not,
get a lot of money.
It's also, too, when we were young, concerts were cheap. Like, all kinds of that entertainment.
Live entertainment.
And I think conventions fall under that because there are performances, people giving talks, and, you know, the actors are there. That used to be just cheap because it was live, and
mm-hmm.
it was, a celebration of whatever the thing was.
Right. It was also a lot easier to get people out to events, so you didn't have to charge as much.
Yeah.
You could fill a stadium with 20,000 people, 30,000 people. There wasn't as much TV. There was no Netflix.
And there were no phones that people were looking at. Like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, what's going on? There was a lot less going on. So when a convention came to town.
Everybody went.
Yeah, it was like for me as a little kid, I was really into Doctor Who. And I remember asking my dad, hey, take me to a Doctor Who convention one week. And he was like, no problem. It was like $5.
Yeah.
You go in, you let your kid run free. There wasn't that much to buy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you get a book. But
a comic book. Less than $5.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a couple bucks.
Even t-shirts were less than
$10. T-shirts were cheap, and you could get someone's autograph for free. They were happy that you came to see them.
Yeah.
Right?
And you could
bring
anything back then. They would love to sign your action figure. They would love to sign your Star Trek compendium.
Yeah, that was when this is for my fans. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for coming and supporting my career.
Like, Tom Selleck will kiss you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he won't
charge you for free.
Because he's like, my fans put me where I am now, and I will kiss them if they want it.
So where did you go in Massachusetts to see? It was always in Boston?
It was in Boston. It was also in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Okay. Good old Nashua.
And it was Hartford, Connecticut back then.
Mm-hmm. A hotbed of civilization.
Yes. And I was lucky enough I've seen everyone at conventions from the original cast, unfortunately, except DeForest Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away before I was able to see him. He didn't get to the East Coast too much. He was already older back then.
Was he a lot older?
He was a lot older.
Okay. So DeForest Kelly...
Bones.
Played Bones. We also saw him, because he's a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him in a film noir that was like 70 minutes long, mm-hmm. and he was playing like, you know,
yeah. a heavy. The name, now, you know, but that might have been his debut.
It was like one of his, if not his first, one of his first films. It's just funny because then I also saw Leslie Nielsen. He used to play a heavy mm-hmm. back in the day. So these actors before, these guys are classically trained, you know, they're working a lot, and then they get into this character, mm-hmm. and that's what they become, you know, known right. as.
Now, and also back then, because Star Trek was not as popular, the conventions were the way that the franchise could make sure that the longevity of Star Trek and that the future series, that Next Generation, and that the movies would do well.
Oh. So because that was a way of connecting guarantee. With fans. Okay.
You know, fans, Star Trek needed fans as much, more than the fans needed Star Trek.
Yeah.
At the outset.
Yeah. Back then. Absolutely. It was in the trenches. We were fighting for the next movie. We were fighting to keep it on television.
There was a war going on.
Yes. Well, a war wasn't for a war. Star Trek.
The only war, I guess, against just boredom and bad TV.
Yeah.
And sitcoms.
Yeah. Most that definitely. Was,
yeah, I guess a war against sitcoms.
Because, it really was something different. There was not a lot of that genre at the time.
And it's interesting because film, like, during that time, so the 80s come along, and then everything is two-camera sitcom, right? Everything is, like, super corny.
Right.
You know, not the social, because, you know, Star Trek and all the best science fiction was kind of channeling that 60s, 70s, like, we're going to talk about social issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like, the shows of the time, like the Norman Lear stuff, mm-hmm. like, we're going to talk about what's going on in society. In the case of Star Trek, they're doing it through science fiction. By the time you get to the 80s, everyone's just like, phrases.
Yeah, right. They have the formulaic sitcoms.
That talks about nothing.
And, right. And then movie-wise, Raiders of the Lost Ark was the first action that was, like, non-stop. Action mm-hmm. that changed the way movies were made, and now they something like this is sci-fi. You were saying before that the movie was kind of slow and story heavy, and then there's a little bit of action, right?
There's some action. There's like culminating action, but the movie is really about the tell us, what is the movie?
It's an exploration. It's the so you're set in the Star Trek world, mm-hmm. and there's I'm going to say as they would say, there's a thing out there in space. That's causing major problems.
Okay.
And the Enterprise...
Is it threatening the time-space continuum by any chance?
It's threatening all of existence.
Yes. Okay.
Of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
Yeah. And that's, that's a, instigating event.
They have to... And it's almost like one of those movies where you got to get the old crew back together. And none of these people have seen each other. Mm-hmm. DeForest Kelly starts off in a beard. I think they pick up Spock from Vulcan.
Yeah.
They're like, let's get the gang back together and go find this strange thing out mm-hmm. there. And it turns out, do we do spoilers, I guess, for the motion picture?
I mean, sure. It's, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Yeah. So there's this giant...
That came out in 1979.
There's this giant spaceship type thing called mm-hmm. V'ger. Hmm? Short for Voyager.
Okay.
It was a probe.
That's sketchy.
It sounded like something else.
V'ger. It was a probe that we had launched a million years ago back then. And it was causing problems. And now the ship has to go and interact with Voyager, mm-hmm. with this old probe, at the heart of what it's become, mm-hmm. and convince it to let humanity survive.
Yeah, so it's a very philosophical.
It's very philosophical.
And, you know, the drama is there. It's got some, it's beautiful, but, you know, in the same way that, as you were saying, those 70s space movies were. So they show you beautiful imagery, mm-hmm. but it's not all things exploding and huge monsters.
No, that happened after Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's when everything became action.
Action.
The appetite of
blowing it up, making it bigger. Making it bigger and bigger.
Big scenery. Dr. Zhivago. 2001 that I mentioned. It's that kind of bigness.
Yeah.
There's no dialogue. There's no action. It's almost like some of it can run in the background.
Yeah.
It's visual, which is film is a visual, or should be, a visual medium.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. So what do we have here? We have some fun facts.
Okay, fun facts about Star Trek.
Oh.
Okay, so who are some famous Star Trek fans, some people that you wouldn't expect?
Who are some famous Star Trek fans? Christian Slater.
Yes.
He's a huge Star Trek fan, and he... What is the story with him?
He was in Star Trek VI.
Yeah, he managed mm-hmm. to finagle his way in. He has, like, three lines.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he played in the bridge crew with Sulu, mm-hmm. and he has to wake Sulu up in the middle of the night And he gets a couple of lines in there.
And you've never seen...
It's the middle of the night, he said.
Even though he's playing the part, you could tell he's so happy
to
have those lines.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like...
And
he delivers those lines as tour de force.
No one
has ever been woken up better.
He tries to mention Shatner in his own movies. I think in Natural Born Killers, mm-hmm. he mentions that he's trying to get a role with Bill Shatner and a couple other of his movies.
Oh, really?
He tries to put that in there.
Oh, and he's a huge fan. I know Whoopi Goldberg, who was in Star Trek, was a huge fan. She requested to be in
She
that.
Did. She was at the height of her career, and Star Trek was not trying to actively seek her out, but they were looking for her.
She's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, this is, I want in.
And
I want in on
she
this.
Got in.
She got in.
And another big fan was Martin Luther King.
Yes.
He loved it. He was a huge fan. And Nichelle Nichols confided in him that she wanted to quit the show, and
yes.
he convinced her to stay.
Yep.
Yeah. She told everybody that she was going to quit. She told the network that she was just sick of being a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting with her back to the screen.
Not getting very many lines.
Right, and she'd always have to turn around like they'd be like, hey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. here's one line and then turn back around
and
again.
And Martin Luther King shows up to the set
what?
To convince her. That's right.
Can you imagine?
He shows up to the set.
Holy
after
God.
You've been mouthing off to everybody, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
This is my last turnaround, my last communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're just being on this ship is more important than you can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was.
The other
it
side
was
of it is, I was reading that this was something from Gene Roddenberry's son, Rod Roddenberry, said that when they showed it in the South, people complained.
Mm-hmm.
Not as high as Congress member, but government officials and TV people were like, we're not going to show the show if there's a black person on the bridge. Now, keep in mind, Uhura's character at the beginning really didn't have a lot going on. She wasn't a major character, but they said, we can't show this with a black person on there. What do you have to say to this? And apparently, Gene Roddenberry's response was, fuck off, then don't show it.
Yeah.
Good.
And
don't
some
show
certain
it.
Stations
didn't
show,
show
certain
it.
Episodes.
Yes. Because they were offended by a black person being on a spaceship
mm-hmm. yep, that's
in
right.
the future.
Oh, my God.
So you can see how important that
wow.
role is.
A big
right?
part of it, though, was Lucille Ball. She was really behind that show.
She fought to have the show happen.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she was a very powerful producer.
Yeah.
Very powerful person in Hollywood.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Captain's log, stardate 1329.8. The USS Enterprise in pursuit of an unidentified vessel.
William Shatner has never seen an episode.
He says that.
We saw him say that.
Yes.
In Montreal at Comic-Con. He said he doesn't watch himself.
He says he doesn't watch himself on TV or movies.
Okay.
He doesn't like to see himself.
But yeah, I detect a note of skepticism in your voices. You think that he
I mean, I understand. Look, I'm not saying I'm in the category with William Shatner, but I've done some performances that have been taped.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot. It's very, very difficult to watch.
It's not as fun to watch yourself.
No.
You look two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Let's see. The only person to play himself on Star Trek is Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Did you see the episode?
No, it was the Next Generation episode.
Okay.
Brent Spiner talked about it.
Yeah.
He's playing cards with Stephen Hawking.
Hmm.
And he saw him on the lot after the show, and he's like, hey, you still owe me some money.
Oh, Stephen Hawking. That cat.
Captain Kirk never said, beam me up, Scotty.
Is that
this
true?
This is true.
Yeah, he said, Scotty, beam me up, which doesn't sound as good.
I thought he said, beam me up, Scotty. That sounds
That's
better.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, everybody
it's
says
it's more, it's catchy.
It is catchy.
You know?
Because it's like, Scotty, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
It doesn't flow.
Scotty, beam me up. As opposed to, beam me up, Scotty.
The U.S. censors initially rejected Spock because he was seen as a satanic representation with his pointy ears and eyebrows. They thought he was like a demon.
But
yes.
Okay, first of all, who knows what a demon looks like? I don't understand where this is coming from.
He could have been an elf.
It could have been anything. A demon, really?
Right. In fairness, they had talked initially about his skin color.
Being red.
Being reddish, because he was from Vulcan.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
And he was initially, they called him Vulcanian.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
they were going to kind of go red with that, and they decided not to.
And they went and said green.
They kind of blue-greened it out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this one, what is this guy's name? That's why I put the picture.
Scotty.
Scotty.
Jimmy Doohan.
Really?
Scotty. We need warp power.
That's why we have the expert
warp
here.
Warp power to the engines.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a podcaster. I'm a Star Trek fan.
He participated in real life. He participated in the invasion of Normandy.
He got shot a buttload of times.
He was shot 6 times. Then a bullet in his chest was stopped by a silver cigarette case.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love stories like that. It's badass. They couldn't put him down.
Mm-hmm.
It was him who decided to use the Scottish accent that we all know and love and call Scotty. He could, when he was alive, do any accent they wanted. And he's like, what do you want this character to be? And they said, how about Scottish? And he gave him a Scottish brogue and he said, that's it.
Oh, what about now that he's dead? Can he do anything?
Yeah, can he do anything? No. Not from the grave?
All we'll right. have to get Tales from Scotty.
There is Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in it.
Yes.
As what? Was he going to play all the parts?
All the parts.
He's going to play every single part. He's like the Native American of film. Every part of the film.
But he did the Golden Child instead.
Ugh.
Yes.
Really? Wow. He missed that on that
they
one.
They wanted him in it.
Who is he going to be?
That's the one they go back in time with the whales.
And they find a smart-ass black comic who's sassy.
Yeah, they wanted to get him a role.
Wow.
And instead he was like, I'll do the cheesy-ass Golden Child.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Boo.
That's the beginning of the end for me.
What is this thing about Captain Kirk's green uniform? How many episodes did he wear that in?
He wore them in a few. You know, Bill Shatner had let's just say he was up and down with the weight over the years.
He couldn't,
And you can kind of see as some of the seasons progress.
Yeah,
when he's wearing a surplus top.
He's wearing a peplum.
So sometimes he wore a more formal green top that looked a little
different. It was a wrap.
It was a wrap top.
Yeah, that's the
surplus. It was a more formal.
Because he was getting a little chunky, so he would.
Meanwhile, from what I've heard, Leonard Nimoy couldn't put on weight.
Oh
no, he couldn't.
And so he was just kind of
so
like
he always made Kirk look
fat,
thicker.
Yeah, we saw Captain Kirk's original uniform. I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, there's no way that dude stayed in that for long.
There is no
because that's when
there.
you get your first job and you're poor.
Yeah,
so you're thin because you haven't eaten.
Right. Yeah,
then you start making money. You can actually have food.
Yeah, you could go out.
But they're like, well, we've already made the uniform.
You can order appetizers.
Yes.
Right.
Now, right.
Do you know that the plans for the USS Enterprise had a 6-lane bowling alley?
Did you know
I
that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you
Fun
want
fact.
To really pull that floor plan up, there's a bowling alley.
There's a bowling alley in there. Because 70s.
That's a great idea.
60s style.
Yeah. So the blueprints, they say it's next to refreshments area and food and beverage.
Can you imagine that?
Could they ever show bowling?
They've never shown space bowling to my knowledge. I'd love to see space bowling.
So bowling makes it to the future.
Yeah.
Bowling is a sport of the future.
That's awesome.
Let's see. The teleportation on Star Trek was made because the budget couldn't afford expensive shots of spaceships landing on different planets.
Really? Yes.
So
it's such a great idea, though.
Yes. They did this deck like, we're going to just do that.
All of these giant space battles that you see from Next Generation forward, all this CG madness, they couldn't afford any of that back then.
I find it interesting because on one hand, I love CG madness. On the other hand, I love Star Trek, the original series, for the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because they spend so much time in the story. It's kind of like Doctor Who. They didn't have a lot of money. So they had a few effects, but it was mostly about the acting, the characters, the story, you know?
Well, that can be creepy
and fun, too.
I'm going to go one better. I enjoy seeing props. Those old Klingon battle cruisers from the series, and then also from Wrath of Khan, and then from Star Trek III. That stuff looked good.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Wrath of Khan for a second. As a young girl, seeing Ricardo Montalban in an open vest.
Oh, yeah.
That lets you know
what
manliness is about.
That's a man. For
that is a man.
That was his real chest.
And that was his real chest.
He worked out and he got pumped for that role.
Wow.
He was thrilled
to be
back. He
took that rich Corinthian leather and ripped it open.
I remember when he had that role and we only knew him from Fantasy.
I was surprised.
Yes.
I'm like, somebody let him, he got a mullet going on.
Yeah.
Open shirt.
Nobody even remembered Space Seed, the episode that he'd been in. Before Khan, except for us fans.
So he played Khan earlier, and then it was so popular? Or the character, like, what was it about the character that let them, you know, generate an entire film around Khan?
Because
Khan is one of the best villains of all time.
What actually happened back then was that they realized with what Spielberg was doing and with what Star Wars was doing, that after the motion picture, despite how great it was, that they needed an action movie. And so they went to Nick Meyer, who directed Khan.
Okay.
Khan!
They worked with him, who had a background
in
adventure movies.
Came out.
And they said, we need an action movie. And then they started looking at what they had from their canon, and they saw that they had Khan. And then they reached out to Ricardo Montalban, and he was more than thrilled to come back.
Mm-hmm. And I bet. With that outfit, if someone showed me a sketch of that, and they were like, Ricardo, this is how this is what they want to go with this, I'd be like, I'm there.
Yeah.
Give me 6 months to stop eating and start growing and building.
He actually probably ate a lot more. He bulked up for that role. He was huge.
Yeah, that's right. He got huge.
He got a huge chest, huge biceps.
And it wasn't...
And he was not young.
He was shirtless a lot. He couldn't have been sucking it in the whole time.
No.
So he actually had to...
He couldn't really pull a Colin Farrell
and just suck it in.
Colin Farrell does. He likes to suck it in.
He likes to just suck it in for the take.
And then let it go.
They needed big action. Leonard Nimoy was done with Star Trek. So
really?
They had to pull him in. So they said, listen, do one more movie. He said no. We'll kill you. And he said yes.
Yes.
As long as I'm done with this.
Can you imagine as an actor? Look, I'll only be in this if I die.
Actors love dying.
Yeah, but they want to come back for the next movie.
Not always.
Not always.
Not Leonard Nimoy.
I'm not an actor, but I would love to die at the beginning of a movie.
No.
Because I don't want to be forced to act. You know I can't do that. But I could die.
I mean, Leonard Nimoy was already gone on forward with his career. I think, he did 3 Men and a Baby? Wasn't he involved in that? He directed a couple of
things. He directed it.
Not him.
I'm like, was he the baby?
He was directing other things. Photography career.
Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg and Leonard Nimoy. And I missed Leonard Nimoy.
I think that was his.
But he directed.
Yeah.
Okay, he was not in it.
No.
Okay.
No.
He also
Three fun-loving bachelors. Leonard Nimoy.
My favorite Leonard Nimoy outside of Star Trek is the In Search Of.
Yeah.
He used to do the narration for In Search Of.
He had a great voice for that.
Yeah. And I was like, this guy is the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was good.
He's looking for a UFO this week.
We have also Scotty.
Come
on. Scotty was the first one that came up with the Klingon language. He developed the basic sounds in a few words.
Wow.
Yeah, he loved accents, languages.
So linguistics was his thing.
Yeah.
So Klingon is an actual language.
It is.
You can buy books in Klingon.
By Mark Okrand.
Is he the same guy who develops all the languages?
Well, he did the Klingon dictionary. I don't know what he did.
Because there's one guy out there, he's done the Klingon, he's known for languages. So he's done the Game of Thrones languages. He's done a bunch of other things. I don't know if it's the same guy.
I don't know.
But Greg and I went to the Intrepid, which they have an amazing Star Trek exhibit in New York, and you have an option to try the Klingon language.
Oh.
I got one out of three good. I think I was able to say properly, today is a good day to die, which is just like saying, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Today's a good day to die. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Okay.
Klingon is a legit thing.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us, you've been to many conventions. You went to the 50th convention at Javits.
50th year anniversary
50th convention. 50th year anniversary convention at Javits. Anything interesting? What was it like?
Sure.
How are people reacting?
You know, it was 3 full days of Star Trek with a preview night for those of us who bought the extra VIP tickets the night before to check out the vendors. It was a great celebration of the entire Star Trek franchise. There was a lot of original stuff. Shatner was there. He closed out the show Sunday. Walter Koenig was there, Chekhov. And they, for the first time ever, introduced the U.S. Postal Service, introduced Star Trek stamps, which are now available at your post office.
They're really cool, too. They
worked with artists over the 50-year celebration of Star Trek who've created this whole art exhibit about Star Trek. So Chekhov was there to, Walter Koenig was there to reveal the big reveal of the stamps, the official part there. And he did a great talk. They talked a lot about the new series, Discovery, that's coming out in June and trying to helm and a paper.
Yeah, it's weird.
TV series.
It's a pay-per-view channel by CBS.
By CBS.
And they're premiering it with the Star Trek. So it's they're trying to get into, I guess, the standalone business.
Okay. Yes.
So how much is it going to be? Like HBO.
You know, they're still talking about it.
They're trying to figure it out. Because the thing is, people are used to CBS for free.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, even if you don't have any package at all, yes, you can still watch ABC, CBS, NBC, right, and Fox.
Right.
Right.
But so they're trying to get into this.
Right. They're trying to turn into another HBO.
Yeah, like HBO. So good luck.
I have mixed feelings about. It's going to be very interesting. I understand that there may very well be a black female lead, and she may not be the captain. She may be the first officer.
Okay.
So number one.
It's supposed to take place within the general time period of the original series, mm-hmm, I think within 10 years.
So is this a new storyline?
New storyline.
But parallel, running parallel.
Running parallel to the five-year mission.
So will they refer to the five-year mission, or is it... completely.
Right now, from...
Is it like Law and Order, where like SVU sometimes talks to original series?
Yeah, the showrunner is a guy named Brian Fuller, who is very involved in Voyager. And he's spoken at conventions and said that so far for the first season, you're not going to see anybody you're going to recognize. For the second season, they may start getting more people involved. Mm-hmm. I know George Takei has mentioned that he would love to come on board.
I'm sure.
Yeah, be seen. Shatner even said, yeah, he would love to. He'd be gay.
Of course he
would. Why not?
He won't watch it, but it'll be on it.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're going to do more story arc type stuff. So
okay,
it's not going to be bottle episodes of the ship on a mission, the ship on a mission that they've done before. They're going to try to build story arcs.
I like the ship on a mission, though.
I do,
like,
too.
That's my favorite part of Star Trek. It's like a new... Every week, it's like a new world.
Yeah,
new
species. Where are they going to port?
And what's going to happen when they get there?
Right. And it also stinks because if you watch them out of order, or
doesn't
if you
matter.
Want to see a favorite episode and it's a story arc going on, it doesn't work as well.
But I guess that's the way that, you know, kind of with BSG...
Yes.
You know, that's the way that it is now.
Yes.
You know, so big, long, sweeping story.
Yes.
Arc.
Although they specifically said, don't expect anything you saw in BSG.
Okay.
BSG, what?
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, okay.
We went into nerd territory.
Yeah,
sorry.
You guys.
We nerded out.
Come back to the rest of us.
So was there anything else, like, that you saw at the Javits convention?
You know, what was a lot of fun was seeing the casts on stage together.
Mm-hmm.
You had...
You mean from the different shows?
From the different shows. You had the Enterprise cast.
Mm-hmm.
You had four of them up there.
Scott Bakula.
No, Scott was not
there. He was not there?
Fortunately,
why
he was not there. Trip was there.
Okay.
And Malcolm was there.
Okay.
And Anthony Montgomery was there.
I think you told me that some of the guys were staying at like an Airbnb in Harlem.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like just hanging out.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a fun weekend for them too to
come
to New York and like do stuff. I just think it's really cool that they're staying in an Airbnb in Harlem.
Yeah.
Just like hanging out, having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone recognized them. Like, hey man, some Star Trek guys staying over there.
You know, while they were there, because these guys are in California now, they went out to Amateur Night at the Apollo.
Are you
kidding? To watch the show. No, they talked about it on on a podcast.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they just had a great time while they were in New York.
See, that's what you should be doing.
Having a good time, because it's fun. It's a convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Enterprise cast were a ball. They were a lot of fun. The Deep Space Nine cast, I mean, talk about a family. They were together for 7 years. So seeing there were six of them together on stage, Quark, Dax, Terry Farrell, although she wasn't part of that panel, but Michael Dorn, who plays Worf. So Rene Aubergeon, Odo.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing them back together, Jake Sisko, who's all grown up now, because we all remember Jake literally growing up on the show.
That's right, because he was a kid on the show.
He grew up for over 7 years. He became a teen and then a young man, and it was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Their interactions and just them talking together with each other, looking back on it now retrospectively, was a lot of fun. The vendor's room is always a lot of fun, but...
What's the weirdest thing you saw in the vendor room? And maybe the most expensive thing, Star Trek item you've seen for sale in a vendor room? Because I know they have everything, from like thimbles to
I've got to say...
It's a car. It's everything.
That I was surprised by the popularity of the Hallmark ornaments.
Really?
There was a huge Hallmark ornament vendor stand.
Uh-huh.
People were waiting in line to buy ornaments from Hallmark.
Well, if it's the old ones, I get it. Because when we were... it's new ones?
No, because
new.
I like getting ornaments.
Hallmark ones.
I love
I do
getting,
too.
Yeah, I
like
getting them too.
I like getting them wherever I travel. I mean, like, where I go somewhere, I get an ornament.
But
I can see why people would like it.
When we were kids, I remember, like, people would come to my, because I'm from a really small town, people would come from the city to come to the Hallmark in my town because they knew they would have the Star Trek ornament, whereas in other places, it would be sold out.
Yeah.
So for me, it wasn't a big deal. It was like, whatever ornament you wanted, you could go and get. In New York, I've bought Star Trek ornaments before, and I've had to call around and be like, yo, do you have these? Mm. Put it behind the counter. I'm not playing. I'm coming by to get it.
Yeah.
Because they sell out very quickly. Yeah. They're highly collectible.
Yeah. Another very expensive high-ticket item that was very popular, they were selling tickets to one of the Star Trek cruises coming up. George Takei is going to be helming this particular cruise. And tickets were something like, I don't know, thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. For the cruise?
For a seven-day cruise.
Yeah, cruises are usually cheap.
And people were buying them.
Not thousands and thousands of dollars.
Hey, thousands of dollars.
Star Trek and a ship?
Yeah, I guess. With the entire cast
or with a bunch of cast members.
I feel like that's hard for the cast members because if they're outside, they're on.
So the weirdest thing, an awesome thing, they did a mock bridge of the Enterprise at the convention. And it was free. You could just go and sit at the Enterprise,
in the captain's chair.
Surrounded by the background and of the whole bridge of the original. And they had a guy playing Scotty who was there. So he could pose for your photo also. And that's actually the entire Enterprise has been remade in Ticonderoga, New York.
Yeah, in upstate New York. Some crazy rich guy.
Wow.
He
built the entire thing.
He built the Enterprise.
The Enterprise.
And it's...
His property. Yeah. You can go and see it.
You can. He spent, I think...
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go. You're welcome to come with
years,
us.
Years, I think, and 15,000 or more. And he worked with the franchise to get the actual blueprints. He's made up the medical room.
Is there a bowling alley?
The transporter room. I know, right?
That's right. Find that out when you go.
I'm going to bring my bowling shoes and be like, what?
It's on the blueprints.
Yeah, it's in the blueprints. Near the snack area, I believe you said.
Yeah.
Near refreshments.
Right, by the refreshment area and the food and beverage preparation facility.
So I wanted to ask you, because we have a little bit of time left, what is your favorite Star Trek episode and why?
Okay. So I love them all. Like a family, but if I were going to say to somebody who is not familiar with the original series and you want to introduce them to it or you haven't seen it, I think Journey to Babel, season 2, episode 10 of the original series is a great episode to start with. It's an episode about the crew having to bring aboard a lot of ambassadors, so you see a ton of different aliens, and they're not all friendly to each other.
Okay.
And they have to decide whether or not some new planet is going to get admitted. So you got some political
stuff Federation.
Going on. Yep. And it's the very first time Jane Wyatt is in it. A great actress in her own right. She plays Spock's mom. So it's the first time we see Spock's parents.
Oh, that's okay. This is a nice episode. It's got a little bit of everything.
We find out that there's a ship tailing the Enterprise up to no good, trying to just blow them out of the sky before they can get to where they're supposed to get with all these ambassadors on board. So we got a ship-to-ship battle. Mm-hmm. And then Kirk has to get into fisticuffs.
Is his shirt ripped open?
His shirt is ripped open.
Nice. Yes.
All right. Does he kiss an alien or a woman?
That's the only thing it's missing. There's no romance in this episode. Sorry, ladies.
Yes.
Although for a lot of people, I think maybe it's better.
It's probably better.
but it's a really fun episode.
But his shirt gets torn.
His shirt does get torn, and it's a good fight. Mm-hmm. It's a good fight.
So I'm going to unfortunately have to set phases to stun in this interview because we're running out of time. But I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
This has been really informative. And I would just like to say to our guest and to everyone who's out there, live long and prosper.
This has been fascinating.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.